He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's gospel lesson is a little unique. You can almost hear the frustration of Christ as he speaks to the Jews as he walks through the colonnade of Solomon in the temple in Jerusalem. He says these words as they gather around him, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, it's been a few years ago, but Verizon Cellular had a great advertising campaign with a guy in a kind of a khaki coat and the square, the old style black glasses. He flipped his phone out and says, "Can you hear me now?" And I went back and I previewed some of the commercials, and they were kind of funny. The guy pops out of a manhole, "Can you hear me now?" And then all of a sudden he's in the middle of a swamp, same words, "Can you hear me now?" Sliding across the floor in an office chair, same thing. Cornfield, there, frozen tundra, desert, and it went on and on and on, always saying the words, "Can you hear me now?" What Verizon was trying to tell you, it really didn't matter where you were, no matter how far you traveled away from their cell towers, you would always be able to hear the voice of the person on the other end of the line. I thought about that because today's gospel lesson seemed as if the connection had been broken. As if the Jews had gathered around Jesus, they had one thing on their mind. They ask him the question, "How long will you keep us in suspense, Jesus? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus said these words, "I told you, and you did not believe. But are you the Christ? The works I do in my Father's name speak for me. But are you the Christ? You do not believe because you are not part of my flock." And they asked again, not satisfied, "But are you the Christ?" Relentlessly, they asked him the question over and over again, "Are you the Christ?" Finally, Jesus kind of got to the end of the rope and says, "You know what? My sheep hear my voice, i.e., you're not one of them. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." As I read through there, the thing that struck me was the word voice. Now you have the competition on television, The Voice, with the judges backwards, and then they pick these people, and I'm not really sure how the thing works altogether, but the voice is so important. But in this sentence, it's really important, because the voice in the Greek would go to the first part of the sentence as a focal point. They hear my voice is how we translate it in English, but in Greek it would be my voice, my sheep hear. You begin to ask the question, but what difference does it make? It doesn't matter where it's at in the sentence. The word's still there. We kind of get it, but there's an emphasis being made. Because the Jews that gathered around them that day were not hearing the voice of Christ. They weren't paying any attention. Jesus said, "I told you I am the Christ, but you did not believe." See, unlike the Jews of today's gospel lesson, you Christians are supposed to be hearing the voice of Jesus. That's who we are, right? We hear the voice of Christ. And quite honestly, the voice of Christ at times is extremely comforting. And at other times, the voice of Christ is a little condemning. It's a word of warning. But here is the comfort. The sheep of Jesus hear his voice. If you are part of the flock of Christ this morning, you hear the voice of Christ, your good shepherd, the one crucified and risen for the life of the world. But now here's the warning. From the book of Hebrews, it says today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. What does that mean? It means that sometimes even we as the body of Christ get to the point when we are no longer willing to listen to the voice of Christ. Oh yeah, we're still part of the family. We're still a part of the flock. This can be caused, this lack of listening, because of something we have done. Or maybe it's the result of something that we hadn't done that we should have done. But regardless, the voice of Christ continues to call out, "Can you hear me now? Are you listening?" It reminds me of when I was growing up. I love my mom, and my mom wasn't my dad. And my mom would call us in for supper. And she'd say, "Jeff and my brothers and sisters, supper time. And if you're busy playing or doing something, hunger isn't something that's on your mind. And so therefore, I hear you, but I'm not listening." And then she'd break out the whole given name. "Jeffrey Lynn Bloom, it's supper time." And then your ears popped up. "I better go if I want to live through the next day." But with my mom, it was like, "She'll forgive you." My mom was tough at times, but my mom was not my dad. But if my dad called out and my dad says, "Jeff, it's time for supper," you dropped whatever you were doing and you headed to the house because dad was the heavy. He had the authority. But if it was mom, "Oh, she'll forgive me. It'll be fine. It's no big deal. By the way, dad's not home yet, so it's all good." But here's the deal, friends in Christ. Christ speaks to us in much the same way, but he has a word of power. Do you realize that God's word of power is, "Let there be and there was"? He is not your mother. Although sometimes you treat him like your mother, "He'll forgive me. He'll forgive me and it'll be good later on." But it's the same voice of power that said to a man in a tomb who was dead for 4 days, "Lazarus, come forth." And by the mere power of his word, Lazarus came forth from the grave. That's the voice of power and authority that speaks into your life today. But God's word always comes with a reaction, sometimes positive, sometimes a word of rejection. And take, for example, Jonah. God had told Jonah, "Go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim against it because their sin has risen up before me." What did Jonah do? He went in the exact opposite direction to the city of Tarshish, disobeying God's word, rejecting it completely out of hand. Ultimately, God got Jonah back to where he's supposed to be, but the reality was Jonah really didn't want to listen. In fact, "I don't want to go." There are many who refuse to hear what God has to say, and they are asking God to speak, but at the same time, they're not willing to listen. You've seen it. "I can't hear you. I don't hear you. God, you can speak all you want, but I don't hear a word that you say." Perhaps there's other times in our lives when we don't want to be bothered with what God has to say. Because God's word comes to us as a word of conviction. It will literally condemn my lifestyle or things and decisions I've made. A word of God that declares the law to me. It moves me ultimately from being apathetic about things to really caring. Maybe it's my prayer life. Maybe it's the reading of Scripture. Or maybe it's caring for the lost. God's word proclaim begins to transform me. And I begin to care. Amen, sister. And still others don't want to hear God's word because they know what's in store for them. A word of rebuke. But this morning, if you have your doubts or your concerns or your fears or anxieties when it comes to God's word, I want you to listen to what he says. Jesus says this, "I know my sheep." As I read through there, it seemed peculiar to me that Jesus would literally put the word "I" into the text. Because in the Greek, the noun is always carried by the verb. For example, the word baptizo. We're going to have a baptism today, but baptizo means I baptize. You don't need an I in the sentence. But here Jesus says, I know my sheep. I know them, and I give them eternal life. And again, they ask the question, but Pastor, what difference does it make? The difference is to make Jesus spoke these specific words as words of comfort for you. That He knows you. He knows your pains, your sorrows, your sufferings. He knows everything about you. I like to say the good, the bad, and the ugly. He knows it all. He knows all of your needs and your desires. What does it matter? That Jesus says, I know my sheep. Well, the fact of the matter is anyone can say that he or she knows Jesus. And I'd like to think this morning that you would say, Pastor, yes, I know Jesus. But you know, a Muslim can say that too. They know Jesus. In fact, I'll go so far to say as I know Donald Trump. I know Hillary Clinton. I know Willie Nelson and Peyton Manning. I know them all, which means I could pick them out of a crowd. But the reality is it doesn't do me any good. Because it doesn't matter who I know, it's if they know me. For example, if I knew Trump, he could slide me some cash. If I knew Peyton Manning very well, maybe he'd come over and hang out and I'd be cool to all my friends. It doesn't matter who I know, it's if they truly know me. And in the text, Jesus says, I know my sheep, and I give them eternal life. Comfort? Yes. Warning? Perhaps. See, the comfort is this. Jesus Christ, your gentle shepherd, knows you. He knew you from the very moment of your conception. He's been with you all along the way. But most assuredly, He was with you when you passed through the water of holy baptism. When the water was poured, the words were spoken, you became a part of His flock. You became a new creation. And you see, your crucified Lord has cupped His careful hands around you, His nail-scarred hands. And no one, and I mean no one, is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. But then Jesus says something I really love. He says, I give them eternal life. The verb is the present tense. It's like now. It's not like I have given them eternal life. Well, He did that in baptism, but it's an ongoing thing. God continues to give it. This morning you experienced that. The words of absolution were spoken, and God was giving you eternal life. In a moment, you'll kneel at the altar to receive the flesh and blood of the crucified Christ. And through it, God gives you eternal life, strengthening your faith, forgiving your sins, creating in you a new heart. But He doesn't stop there. He does all this giving. He knows everything about you. So therefore, He knows what to give. But at the same time, He says these words, they will never perish. The wording is really kind of strange. Jesus does a double negative. We translate it as, they will never perish. But a good Greek understanding would be, my sheep shall not perish. I don't like that one. My sheep shall really not perish. Not bad. I like this one. My sheep shall totally and completely not perish. But what does that mean? My sheep will totally not perish. It means that God has a plan for you. A God who knows you, knows all of your sins, all of your shortcomings, all your anxieties, all of your fears, knows you. He knows you to the point He knows exactly what to give you. That's what led Him to the cross. That's what crucified our Lord, our love, His love for you. And dear friends, no one can snatch you out of His hands. No, not never. Okay, Pastor. So you say Jesus knows me. And so you say that Jesus gives me eternal life and I'll not be snatched out of His hands. So what? So what? You know what my life's been like this week? My finances are in the toilet. I'm down to my last dime. I want you to think of this. Jesus saying, can you hear me now? I will provide for you all that you need for this body and life. The doctor told me today that they're going to give up. There's nothing they can do. This is my lot in life. I feel alone. And Jesus says, can you hear me now? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Pastor, I'm at a crossroads in my life. I'm not really sure what to do. Everything seems so confusing. And Jesus Christ calls out to you, can you hear me now? Trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, acknowledging me in all your ways, and I will make your path straight. But Pastor, there's guilt over sins from years ago that simply will not relent. And hear the words of Jesus. It is finished. Your sins are forgiven. As I began to make preparations for this sermon this week, it struck me that this is the first sermon text I ever preached on. As a younger, much younger seminarian, the fear of standing before my classmates and preaching those words from this makeshift pulpit in this classroom was a little bit overwhelming. I got to tell you today, it's a great joy to stand before you, to tell you not only who you are, but whose you are. You are sheep of the flock of Jesus Christ. You have nothing to fear because Jesus Christ has died to cover all of your sins, to give you new life. And when he says, no one can snatch them out of my hands, they are hands that have been crucified and risen for you to take away all your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your fears. The question I have for you this morning is simply this. Can you hear him now? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.